Dave. Public speaking is not my forte, so please bear with me. The entirety of my adult life has been one spent having no relationship with Jesus. One summer when I was a child, my parents sent my brother and I to Bible camp with the agreement that when the camp was over, we could choose if we wanted to pursue a relationship with God. At the end of our time at camp, we made the decision many of the kids in our age group would have at the time. There were no Game Boys or Nintendo 64s in church, so we chose to spend the rest of the summer playing video games and never followed through with it. After that point in my life, I had adopted the phrase, I have firm beliefs held loosely, rotating between atheism, agnosticism, and I've spent the last 10 years of my life as a nihilist. Then at the beginning of last year, I experienced something that profoundly altered my worldview. This experience was terrifying, and it led me to spending the next year and a half looking for worldly answers to questions I had never considered asking before, all while simultaneously battling depression, anxiety, panic attacks, and painful intrusive thoughts. When my wife began attending Mountain View during the summer, I felt a calling that I may find what I was seeking here. What I found wasn't just affirmation and answers, but an incredible community that welcomed me with open arms within moments of walking in the front door. I could feel the love of Jesus emanating from every individual I interacted with. Today, I am humbled. I have no doubt that the Lord has been molding me and guiding me towards this moment. Through his sacrifice, for the first time in my life, I understand the true meaning of forgiveness. Thank you.
I spent most of my life thinking that my belief in God was a private matter, that I didn't need to talk to anybody about it or be a part of any community. As an adult, I have been riddled with fear and anxiety and focused on earthly remedies while God seemed to take a back seat. I haven't opened my Bible or prayed in years. When I started coming to this church with my mom, my only intent was to be with her and hold her hand as we grieved together after the passing of my bonus dad. And I selfishly thought that I was just here for her. But God started working on my heart right away, and I found myself coming back for more every week. When my husband told me that he also felt called to attend, I realized he was working on our family, and I invited Jesus into my heart. I asked him to help me cast off my doubts and put my trust in him. I know now that while I come back to him the same person that I always was, having done nothing to deserve it, he has been patiently waiting the whole time. And I know now that I am his and always have been. Thank you.
So I want to get baptized because I love God more than anything in the world, because he is my one and only Savior. That has been with me everywhere. And I want him to be with me every moment and every second, year, month, minute, and I'm proud to be a child of God and Jesus.
Amen. Hey, thanks, guys. They'll come back up after, at the end of the service, to be baptized. So you guys can head back. Thanks. Actually, you two stay. Those being received as members, come on up. Lucas, you can, do you want to head downstairs? You can actually go out this door and go down if you want, or you can go back to the fellowship hall, I think. Yeah, wherever the kids are, you'll find them. Oh. Okay. Awesome. Well, God is good. And all the time. Amen. Hey, I just want to talk a little bit with you just for a few moments before we come and we have this time of baptism. But, you know, we're coming up on Christmas. And one of the cool things about Christmas, like at Christmas time, we remember that Jesus came and we look forward to his coming again. But there's one thing that happened in the middle of that, and that's the cross. And it's a cool thing about Christmas that, like, we talk about this baby and we talk about Jesus coming back, but, like, if it weren't for the cross, we'd just have dry ham. If it weren't for the cross, we'd have nothing to look forward to and no resurrection. And so those things are all about the cross. And in the same way, becoming a church member, dedicating our children, becoming a pastoral candidate, these things all, like, pale in comparison to the, like, significance of baptism. Baptism is, it's about living what's called a cruciform life. It's about submitting to the cross of Christ. It's about committing to a life of self-sacrifice. When we dunk them in the water, it's them symbolically dying with Christ and raising to new life in him. And so those things are all these significant parts. Without baptism, without the cross, then, hey, we're just a social club on Sunday mornings. And why don't we just go play golf? Without the cross, the meaning of this gathering is faulty. The cross, it defines how we treat one another and talk to one another, how we interact with one another. I don't know if you guys know this, but sometimes church people say things that offend other church people. Sometimes pastors say things that offend pastors. And you know there's like a process, a right way and a wrong way to deal with those kind of things. And because we follow Christ, we want to take the lower seat and we want to assume the best about people. And so when someone offends us, right, we love them by going to them and trusting them. But, and so when we symbolically die, we're dying to ourselves, we're rising with Christ. And what is baptism? Baptism, it comes from a Greek word called baptizo. Can you say baptizo? Baptizo, and it was a common Greek word, and it meant to dunk. So if you went to Mickey D's and you got some nuggets, you would baptizo in sweet and sour sauce. Sunday. So don't take this the wrong way, but if you got some Chick-fil-A nugs, you baptizo them in Chick-fil-A sauce. And so I have three goals this morning, just in these few moments. Here's my three goals. I'll just tell them to you, and then I have a few verses to read to you. My first goal is that if you're here and you're a follower of Jesus and you've never been baptized, I pray that you would, like, have a sense that, man, I really want to be baptized, that you would obey Jesus and be baptized. It's one of those things where in the early church and forever in the church, it's been an immediate thing. So in Acts chapter 8, there's a guy named Philip. Philip was a follower of Jesus. And one day Jesus said, hey, Philip, go for a walk along this road. And he's out walking. And he sees in the distance this chariot coming toward him. And as this chariot comes along, he hears the scroll of Isaiah being read, and he says, hey, do you know what that means? And they come to a stop, and this Ethiopian servant of the queen of Ethiopia says to them, how can I know if nobody explains it to me? And so Philip climbs up into this chariot, and he explains how Isaiah and the Old Testament prophets and the law and Genesis and Exodus and Kings and Deuteronomy all lead and point to Jesus. And the man says this, look, there's water. What would keep me from being baptized? And they go down the river immediately following Jesus' command to be baptized when he comes to faith. Here's my second thing. Man, I hope that if you're here and you follow Jesus and you've been baptized, I hope you'll remember that you belong to Christ. Martin Luther is a guy who was alive years ago. he was the leader of the Protestant Reformation. During that time, the Catholic Church broke out great persecution against the Reformers. And Martin Luther said this to his friends who were being hurt. Remember your baptism. And so remembering our baptism reminds us that we've died to Christ and that we've been raised again. So to help you remember, I've asked Nelson to spray everyone with a super soaker. So if you'd get that out and just go ahead and just blast. Okay, I guess he forgot to bring it, so we'll have to work that out. You know, I have two things that I have that I help remember. On April 5th, 2005, Jesus Christ came to life to me in New York at an evening service. And at this retreat I was at, they had these little crosses, and it says Yak 16, number 3. It's the table I was sitting at this retreat. For a lot of years, this came on a hemp rope, and I wore it like a sash under my clothes every day. And then it would dig into my side, under my ribs, where I still have like a little like internal scar. I would remember what Jesus did for me. The hemp rope got gross. But now I bring this with me. And at my baptism, I was baptized, and they had a bowl with some stones, and we took a stone out, took a little cross on it, and I had this stone to remember my baptism. Throughout Scripture, over and over, God tells the people of God to take stones and build altars. And so I bring these two things. They travel in my bag with me. When I travel for ministry and work, these travel with me. Just as a constant reminder that God's with me, that God loves me, that God died for me, and that God has raised me to new life. And third, for the people that are here that are wheel kickers, as I keep saying, people who say, like, I'm interested in Jesus and I'm not sure where I'm at. Man, I hope that either today or soon God would come alive to you. I hope that, like, let me say it this way, I get it. When I was 20 years old and I had a bad situation happen, I said, I'm going to go to church and it'll fix me. I'm going to buy one of those Bibles they have. I'm going to read it and see what it says. And for a long time, I said, I'm just going to be around these people and see what they're like and get to know them. So for me, leading up to April 5th, 2005, was several months of reading the Bible. I read like the whole thing through. I had a lot of time, I guess. But I came to this point of an ascent, an intellectual ascent, to say, I am going to follow Jesus from now till I'm dead. When God worked on my heart, I made that decision to follow Jesus. That's the reason we have people share testimonies. A simple way to think about salvation is this, the ABCs. That you admit that you're a sinner, that you're broken, that there's brokenness in the world, that we can't save ourselves, that things are broken apart from God. B, that you would believe in Jesus Christ. Not just believe that some Palestinian Jew was crucified like a whole bunch of other Jews were 2,000 years ago, but you would believe in Jesus, that somehow his death on the cross counted for me. And the C is to confess. Scripture says multiple times that if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, that you will be saved. And so that's why we have people share their testimonies, how God has changed their lives and what God's done in them. And so that's why we do that. Let me say, if you decide today to follow Jesus, or if you're a follower of Jesus who has not been baptized, and today at the end of this message you say, I want to be baptized, we'll baptize you. So that's open and that's there. Those are my goals. But I want to look at these three short verses. And you can actually just take that off. I'm just going to go through them. You guys can look these up later if you don't believe me. This is what it says. Titus chapter 3, 4 and through 7. But when the kindness of God our Savior and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us, not by works of righteousness that we had done, but according to his mercy. Through the washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit, he poured out his Spirit on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, having been justified by his grace, we may become heirs with the hope of eternal life. My point of this verse is Jesus defines who you are. It's not my past that defines me. It's not my sins that I commit daily that define me. It's not my brokenness that defines me, but it's the one true God who says, you're beloved, you're my child. Jesus says this about me, that I'm an image bearer of God. Did you know that? Surely, did you know we were fearfully and wonderfully made? God knit me together in Helen Ware's womb? Michelle, you're a daughter of the King of the universe. You know, servants, slaves, they don't have an inheritance, right? Children have an inheritance. And I like to say it this way, God doesn't have grandchildren. God wants to be your father. He wants your personal relationship with you. You may have been told that you're good for nothing. There are an abundance of really bad fathers in the world. Can I, across this room, I know a bunch of stories, and I know there are a bunch of good-for-nothing fathers who told you you were good for nothing when you were little, and that stuck with you and resonated with you your whole life. I just want to tell you, if that's you this morning, Jesus died for you. Jesus loves you so much that even if everyone else was fine and it was just you, he would have come and died just for you. Second verse I want to read, Galatians chapter 3, verses 27 through 29. For those of you who were baptized into Christ have been clothed with Christ. There is no Jew or Greek, slave or free, male and female, since you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. This is what this means. You belong in the family of God. That it's not saying that we no longer recognize that I'm a Gentile or I'm a man and you're a woman. It's not saying we no longer recognize that we have different jobs and do different things and says we're all some homogenous nothingness. No, it's celebrating the beautiful diversity in this room that we all belong in the family of God. You know, we have a value at this church that we're intentionally welcoming. I hope if you're newer around here, if this is your first time ever walking through these doors, I hope you felt welcome. I said in one of the membership classes, actually, I used to think intentional was a bad word. I used to think intentional meant like you were fake. But hey, you know what? It's hard to be welcoming. You guys know sometimes people are hard to love. I mean, not y'all, but there's people that are hard to love. They sit in the lobby over there. And so we focus on how can we be welcome? How can we be loving to people? We want to like think about it and make decisions. So I hope you felt welcomed this morning. And my last point for us this morning, Romans chapter 6 says this. What should we say then? Should we continue in sin so that grace may multiply? Absolutely not. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Or are you unaware that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in the likeness of his death, we will certainly also be in the likeness of his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with so that the body ruled by sin may be rendered powerless, so that we may no longer be enslaved to sin, since a person who has died is freed from sin. If we died with Christ, death no longer rules. For the death he died to sin once for all time. But the life he lives to God. So you too consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. And here's the third point. Jesus is our priority. Jesus is our first love. Actually, if you're making a list, Jesus isn't even number one on the list, but he's the paper you write the list on. You can't even prioritize things apart from Jesus. Jesus, he didn't give me a second chance back in 2005. He'd given me lots of chances. And I'll tell you, I screwed up my second chance. I screwed up my fifth chance. I screwed up my 457th chance. I screwed up my 8,265,205th chance. But what God did for me that day wasn't just say, hey, try again. It wasn't just like, hey, try to do better. God's good. You're bad. Good luck. But he gave me a new life. He took the wretched heart from me. And he made it new. He made a heart of stone turn into a heart of flesh. And he gave me a new life. Not because of anything I did, but because of his grace and his mercy and his love. You know, and not by getting cleaned up first, because I was a mess. Not by reading my Bible all the way through or having like the best theology that you could ever imagine. Not like I need to do such and such and then I'll follow Jesus. But it was simply that Jesus died on a cross. And in that moment, that evening, I trusted that it counted for me. So let's pray together. Whoever's supposed to get the children is going to bring the children up. Savior of the whole world, our brother and our Lord, that you came to the earth among us. I thank you that you lived a holy life, that you lived a perfect life. Thank you for your forgiveness. I thank you for your forgiveness. I thank you for your sacrifice on the cross, Lord, that where you were innocent, your blood was shed, though you did no wrong, so that God's justice would prevail. And that, Lord, through that justice, you showed mercy to me, the chief of sinners, the chief with a black heart. And you died for me. And, Lord, I thank you for these moments with Luke and Dave and Ellen. Lord, I pray that this baptism would confirm in them and stir them up toward their love and affection and passion for you. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen Luke Dion. Based on your confession of faith, it's my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Dead with Christ, raised to new life in Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, I pray for Luke. I pray that you would continue to work in him, Lord. I pray that you would make yourself more alive to him today than he was yesterday, Lord. I pray that you would draw him close to you, that you would build him up, that you would just continue the passion in him to follow you at such a young age, Lord. Let him be a bright light at his school and amongst his friends. And I pray these things in Jesus, in your mighty name. Amen. Amen. Go on, Dave. I heard it's hot. All right. All right. Here. Dave Iacovino, based on your testimony of faith in Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Died with Christ, raised to new life. Amen. Jesus, I thank you for Dave. I thank you for his heart to seek after you, to seek after what is the world meaning? Where are things? What does it mean? What's going on? And Lord, I thank you that you found him, Lord, and that he found you, and that Lord, he's following you now, Lord. And I just thank you for his love for you, his love for his family, Lord. I thank you for his children and his wife, God. And I thank you for the work you're doing in his life. We pray it continues as he draws closer to you each day. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
I wish we had brought the towels up.
Here. Oh,
thank you.
Yeah. Come on. Yeah, come on down. Actually, come down. Because baptized Christians baptize Christians. So come help me baptize your wife. Yep. Ellen Iacovino, based on your testimony of faith in Jesus Christ, it's my privilege as your brother to baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Died with Christ, raised to new life. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for Ellen. Thank you for her love. Thank you for not abandoning her, but for continuing to patiently seek after her and follow her and love her and pursue her. And Lord, I thank you for her love for her children and her love for you and her love for all of her friends, Lord. God, I thank you for her just passion to say, okay, I'm in and I'm going to follow you. And I don't know what to do, but I'm going to figure out what to do. And so, Lord, thank you for Ellen, Lord. I pray that you would bless her, draw her close to you, build her up in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right. You all may go back, and I think we have a closing song. Or no? Yes.
There they go.